Welcome to Summit Church. Here, we strive to be a church where you can belong long before you come to believe. At each of our locations, we worship together, learn and grow together, serve together, and form relationships around a common purpose, to inspire people to find and follow the way of Jesus. Join us in listening to this week's sermon.
Hey, Summit Church, my name is Rusty George, and I get the pleasure of being the lead pastor at Crossroads Christian Church out in Texas, just south of Dallas in Grand Prairie near Arlington, home of the Texas Rangers World Series champions as for now. And I get the honor of speaking with you today. Michael Hinton is one of my closest friends. I love that guy, and he's been such a blessing to our church. And I just am grateful for you guys allowing him to come out our way, sharing him with us. He's taught for us several times, and he's just a gift. And I hope you know what a gift you have in him, an incredible leader and teacher and great friend of mine. I just love him and his family so much. Well, I'm excited to be part of this series that you guys have been in called Unoffendable. I love this concept, and we're actually going to teach through this as well coming up in just a few weeks. And I love this idea because there are so many different trappings out there that we get kind of distracted by that can make us offended. I mean, you think about it, you weren't really offended too often about drivers until you started driving. You weren't too offended about politics until you started voting. You weren't too offended about fashion until, well, you started dating. And then suddenly somebody told you what you wear doesn't work. Well, the reality is there's so many different things we can get kind of swept up with when it comes to the things that can make us offended. And sometimes there's good reasons for that. There's things that people do to us, or the things that they say to us, or things that we find out about that really hurt us. And here we were just trying to have a relationship, just trying to have a marriage, just trying to parent, just trying to do life. And there's these different things that keep popping up that keep ruining our experience and making us offended. Let me tell you a story. Several years ago, I had this great idea that I was going to take my family on the great cross-country road trip. It was going to be epic. We were going to stop at all of the, you know, the places that you normally stop to see, you know, the largest ball of string or the wax museum. And one of the things we were going to hit was the great monument of Mount Rushmore. I'd never seen it in person. My kids had obviously never seen it. My wife had never seen it. We'd never even been to South Dakota, but we thought this would be a great opportunity for us to get some family time in and to see this incredible monument. Well, we had planned out various stops along the way and different, you know, hotels that we'd stay at, and it was going to be a great, great time, and we'll have a lot of fun. And my daughters at the time had been watching a TV show on HGTV called Tiny Houses. I don't know if you've seen this before, but they basically try to build the smallest house possible and live in it. And apparently, there are tiny houses you can rent, like an Airbnb. And so my daughter said, "Dad, can we stay in an Airbnb tiny house some night?" I said, "You know what? I'm dad of the year. Absolutely. What could go wrong? This is a perfect trip. This is going to be great. Everybody's going to be happy, and it's going to be wonderful." Well, we should know that's never the case. We rent this tiny house right outside of Mount Rushmore, and we roll in during the day, and we have to find it. Well, it's not on the map. And then we have to go off-roading in the minivan just to get to the tiny house. And then we find the tiny house, and we can't get into the tiny house. We have to go to the big house where people live, actually live, and then they rent out the tiny house to suckers like me. And so then I got to go find them, and then they take us over to the place, and they open up the tiny house, and we walk in, and you know, you pretty much have to go outside to turn around, you know? And it's a very, very tiny house. It lives up to the name. And then they drop this little nugget on me just as they leave, and that is, oh, by the way, the thing runs on solar, and it should be fine because it's been collecting solar all day, and it will run all night. It'd be great. I didn't think too much about that. They left. We got everything set up. Everything was good to go, and then we went to Mount Rushmore. We saw it at night. We saw the light show. It was incredible. We came back. We got to the tiny house, and when we got there, we recognized that it was very, very hot. So we turned on all the fans in the place. We plugged in all of our phones to charge our phones, and we're getting ready for bed, and everything was great, and then suddenly I hear this very eerie sound. Ooh. And the power went out. We had not been there more than 20 minutes, and we'd used up all the power that it had stored up from the day. Apparently, it had been cloudy. Now we're living in this tiny house with no air circulation, no lights. The kids are devastated, no phone chargers, and we're just trying to go to sleep. I remember laying there in the bed thinking, maybe this night will be over soon. Then my daughter has this bright idea. Hey, there's a window I see that we haven't opened yet. And she goes up and she opens it. And apparently behind that window was a colony of moths. And they came out like Silence of the Lambs, and they were flying all around. And one of my daughters says, if they bite you, you'll go blind. And I thought, what are you learning in school? And it was just crazy. It was mayhem for the entire night. None of us slept. All of us were sweaty and miserable and angry. We ended up getting in the car early before daybreak just to get out of that area. Mount Rushmore doesn't have the fondest memories for me. Now, why do I tell you that story? Because what was supposed to be great ended up with a lot of complications. And here's the thing I know about you and about me is for many of us, we wandered into church or we started following Jesus or we prayed a prayer or we got baptized and we said, I'm going to try this Jesus thing out. And it seemed like a wonderful thing, but it was met with a lot of complications. People started saying things to you like, well, you really need to do this, and you really need to do this, and you also should stop doing this. In fact, I put together a list of things that I kind of grew up with that were kind of things that were imposed on me as to what it meant to follow Jesus. Love others, forgive those who hurt you, pray for those who persecute you, have joy, be patient, stay faithful, be gentle with words, give to the hurting, tithe, live in peace, serve your church, be kind to everyone on the freeway, go to church every week, read your Bible every day, pray without ceasing, don't drink, don't smoke, don't chew, don't go with girls that do, and confess your sins every night. If you don't, you might wake up in hell. That was kind of the list I grew up with. And then you add on to that all the people we're not supposed to like now that we're Christians. Well, that people group over there, we don't agree with them. And that people group, we don't agree with them. And now here we are in election season. Here's the people we don't vote like and the things we don't vote for. And here's the people we are against. And it becomes a lot of opportunities to be offended. Well, what I wanted to do as we wrap up this series is try to just sum it all up. How do we live an unoffendable life? How do we live in such a way that we actually live out the way of Jesus without getting into all the trappings of all the stuff we're supposed to not do and the stuff that we should do, which often makes us so offended at everybody in our life? You know, when you look through history, that's filled with a lot of people who decided to follow all of the ways to do the right thing and look down on those that weren't. You think about the Pharisees. These were professional followers of the Torah or the Bible or the first half of the Bible, that is the Old Testament. And they had not only the Ten Commandments, but they came up with 600 other commandments to help them keep the Ten Commandments. And then they would lord it over other people and be offended at anybody who didn't live up to their standards. And I look at my own life and I think, boy, there were times I was a closet Pharisee. I like what Larry Osborne says. No one intends to be a Pharisee. It's kind of like eating dinner at Denny's. You never intend to go there. You just end up there. And that's kind of what happens to a lot of us. We start off with the best of intentions to be really good Christians and followers of Jesus, and we end up just being judgmental of everybody else, offended by everybody else, because we're living by this set of rules we're supposed to keep and looking down on all those that don't. Do you ever wonder why we do this? You ever wonder why we struggle with these things? I have a couple of ideas. One is, I think we like control. Anybody out there a control freak like me? Anybody got a little touch of OCD in them that feels like if I do A, B, and C, then I'll get D? And I think there's something about us that feels like if I just do the right things, say the right things, go to church enough times, I've kind of tricked God into doing what I need him to do. There's a bit of control to it. I think about a guy in my church who had a conversation with me one day because his son had been diagnosed with cancer. And we're talking about his son and his treatment and what's going on. And he looked at me and he said, Rusty, what did I do wrong? I said, what do you mean? And he said, I feel like I did all the right things, but I must have done something to bring this upon my family. He had this thought that if I do all the right things, I'll control God and nothing bad will ever happen. And he forgot about this passage where Jesus says that our Father causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Maybe you need to hear that today. Maybe you've been kind of in this offendable mode because you're trying to control everything and you're trying to get everything just right so God will give you what you want, and it makes you really look down on other people. Which brings us to kind of our second reason I think we get so trapped by these offenses. And that is just scorekeeping. We like to know when we win. Guys, especially, we're competitive. We like to know we're doing better than somebody else. And there's something about us that likes to think, oh, I'm not real great as a husband, but I know I'm better than this guy. To kind of keep a score and recognize, well, I've been to church 8 weeks in a row and I haven't seen you there. To kind of know that you're doing better than somebody else. And it kind of creates and breeds this offense we have with each other. It makes us offended at other people because they're not living up to our standards, which is exactly what the Pharisees did. You know, what's interesting is following Jesus has nothing to do with control or scorekeeping. In fact, Jesus sums it up this way. You really should just love God and love people. Well, what does that look like? Well, it just so happens that there was a prophet, even before Jesus, a guy by the name of Micah, who sums it up so well. And he writes it down as these three distinct things that you and I should basically make our life about. And in doing so, we will live out Jesus' command to love God and love people. Here's what he writes in Micah chapter 6, verse 8. He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. That's it. To act justly, to love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. So let's break that down. What does that look like? Rather than getting obsessed with how to vote, rather than getting obsessed with who doesn't vote like you, rather than getting obsessed with all the do's and don'ts of your faith and who doesn't keep up with that and who you're better than and who you're less than, what if we just zero in on these three things? What does that look like? Let's start with the first one, to act justly. I love what James says. He says, pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means, and you think he'd say, keeping all the rules, but he doesn't. He says, caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. That's it. Pure religion is this. Take care of the least of these. In fact, Jesus goes on to say it this way, for I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me. Then these righteous ones will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will say, I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. And here's what this looks like. You basically decide, I'm going to give people what they really deserve. In some cases, that is justice, like we see in our justice system. But a lot of times, it's giving them just the benefit of the doubt. It might be to give them $10. It might be to pay for somebody's coffee. It might be to let somebody off the hook. It might be to forgive somebody, just to give them what they deserve. You act justly, meeting basic needs of people. And I know your church has a long history of reaching out to those that are marginalized and the least and the last and the lost and helping those in need. In fact, I know right now, Michael and several others are away working on mission opportunities for your church. And these are the exact same ways that Jesus models for us and teaches us how to act justly. To give people what they deserve. Now, that doesn't stop there, because in some cases there's people that they don't really deserve much, right? They've hurt you, they've broken your heart, and you think, oh, they don't deserve anything based on that. And that's why he follows it up with this. Not only act justly, but love mercy. Have you ever noticed there's kind of people that go back and forth with these? Some people are all on the justice side and they're just angry and bitter at everybody. Other people are all on the mercy side and just get walked over all the time. And he says, I want you to have a balance of both of these. Act justly and love mercy. So several years ago, my wife and I had gone out for dinner. Big night, went to Sonic. Pulled up there in that little, not the drive-through, but the drive-in where you pull up and you order on the speaker. And you know, they come out and they bring you your food. And we had ordered our food and we were sitting there waiting and very excited about this meal. And it must have been our anniversary or something, you know, big night. And we're sitting there waiting on this food and I'm hungry. And I get the little case of the hangries in this moment, right? And I'm frustrated and I'm upset and I'm waiting on the food. And finally, in my side view mirror, I see the server come out and she's bringing the tray and there's all of our food on there and our drinks and it's going to be awesome. And halfway out, she stumbles and drops it all. In my mind, I was thinking, oh no, how long is this going to take to get the next order? And my wife says, you should get out and help her. I said, well, this is how I justify it. Well, honey, if I do that, her manager might see that and fire her because the customer's helping her. Finally, I get the look from my wife, and I finally get out of the car, and I'm trying to help her. She goes, oh, thank you so much. And I said, yeah, my wife didn't want me to, but I insisted. I'm kidding. I didn't say that. That's a simple, silly illustration, but it's to love mercy and in some ways to even act justly. I gave her what she deserved, but I also gave her mercy in the process. You know, the Apostle Paul says it this way, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. In other words, you give people what they don't deserve. And that might be forgiveness. That might be a, I'm sorry. That might be a, I forgive you. That might be, I'm letting you off the hook. But in some cases, and you know the situation in your life right now, you gotta overlook it. You gotta let it go because God has done that for you. So how do we do this? We act justly, we love mercy. Boy, it just feels so difficult because we're always trying to figure out who gets justice, who gets mercy. And that's why I love the way he ends this. He says, walk humbly. Recognize, you know, you don't get to be the judge and the jury. You get to just follow your Lord's lead. And you get to walk humbly with your God. You know, humility is kind of a weird thing to diagnose. The moment you think you've got it, you've lost it, right? And I love what C.S. Lewis says about humility. Humility isn't thinking less of yourself. It's just thinking of yourself less. In other words, you can be arrogant and still be considered to be humble. And here's what I mean by that. If you're walking around talking about how much you're a loser, you know, I'm not any good at anything and all that. It may appear that you're really humble, but really you're just talking about yourself all the time. And of course, you could go the other way and just talk about yourself and how great you are all the time. And the scriptures just say, just have none of that. Have none of that. Be a person that just takes the high road and doesn't shine the spotlight on yourself. Be a person that goes last and fights to the end of the line. Be a person that never wins an argument, but just continues to encourage other people. Be a person that just walks humbly. And when you humble yourself, it becomes so much easier to act justly and love mercy. You see, here's what I've discovered about following Jesus. And that is, when you discover how to just act justly, love mercy, walk humbly, guess what? It gets a lot more simple. You get a lot less reasons to be offended at people. And certainly as we move into this political season, certainly as we move into another crazy year of life where people are telling you what you should do and shouldn't do and how to believe and how to vote and all these different things, let's just get down to the basics. Jesus said, love God, love people. How do we do that? We act justly, we love mercy, and we walk humbly with our God. I like the way my friend Mike Bro says it. Following Jesus, it's not always easy. But it's not complicated. Act justly, love mercy, walk humbly with your God. Let's pray together. God, thank you that you have modeled this for us. You have led us so well. You have demonstrated for us what it means to follow after you. Jesus acted justly. Jesus loved mercy. And Jesus, even though being God himself, humbled himself to walk amongst us. And so, God, may that be our model. Not a political figure, not even a person that we've admired for so long, but rather Jesus, who models for us what it means to live in a right relationship with his Father and our Heavenly Father. And God, we just ask that you will continue to guide us as we open-handedly live to act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening with us today. Remember, you can also watch our services on YouTube or at summitchurchfl.org. Those links can be found in the show notes, along with ways to follow us on social media. Now, go in God's grace and peace. We look forward to worshiping with you soon.